on the book of 2 Kings. I ask everybody to turn in your Bible, please. Some of you don't have your Bibles. Everybody got your Bible? All right, 2 Kings chapter 4. Now, there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead. Now, I gave you a message about the tragedy of the death of a husband leaving some little boys. And the boys were signed up as collateral, and they wondered. The wife wondered what was going to happen because they were fixing to foreclose and take her boys for collateral. And it was a tragedy. Well, the preacher came walking along. And you know, preachers ought to be recognized and welcomed even when the sun shines. But many times we're not called until the trouble comes and the shadows gather and clouds hang low and tears begin to fall. People call me today that ordinarily would never call me. They were just grasping at straws. A man said, my little daughter's run away 3 times. She's 13 years of age. And we're just desperate. And I got a letter today from a friend. I believe he's a friend. He said he loved me. But he thought I was a little too hard on people that call Jesus J.C. And they feel that, you know, and the long-haired folks, you see. But I just know, I guess you girls really have just about positionized me the way I am because of what you got into when you ran with that group. So people just have to understand, I love every hippie. That don't make any difference. If the hair drags the ground, I'm still going to love them. And I want to win them to Christ. But I found out it's just about necessary to get them a haircut to make them look like a man before you can ever make a man out of them. And that's the way it has to be. And so we just believe that men ought to look like men, and that's what the Bible says, and women ought to look like ladies. And so, but we're not being unkind. We love every one of them, and we want to be a blessing to them. And if you don't believe we love them, you bring them to us, and we'll take them. Now, we've had one boy to come in, and he had on his beads, and which I think it's bad enough for a woman to wear beads, you know. But I believe if anybody ought to wear beads, it ought to be a girl or a lady instead of a big old rusty-headed boy or a man. I can't imagine a man. And all those head rings on every finger on his hand, every description, every kind. And his hair was way down over his shoulders, and he had only one eye peeping out. That's all, just one eye. Hair was all down over his right eye and his left eye. And I didn't try to be ugly. I just said, what are you? He said, well, I'm a man. I said, well, you could have fooled me. Now then, he said, and he was in great trouble, and the preacher sent him to us. The preacher sent him to us. And the preacher ought to know him better because he ought to know our stand. And when we work with men, we work with men. When we work with girls, we regard them as little ladies. And that's where we're going to treat you. I just take it for granted. If you're not a lady, you want to be. And if you're not one, you ought to be. And if you're not one when you come, we're going to see to it that you are one when you leave. And so that's our challenge, you see. Because we believe we want you to be what God wants you to be. And when you get like that, you're going to be happy. And you're going to be having the joy, and you're not going to have to be condemned and have an old, dirty, stinking conscience that eats like a cancer all the time on the inside. And so I said to him, well, son, we're going to help you, but you're sure a fright. And he spent every penny he had, spent $20 on the plane buying trinkets and rings and junk and beads for himself, see? And he came in, and of course, it was our responsibility to take care of him, furnish him a room, buy him some clothes, take care of him, and lead him to Christ. And but I said to him, I believe we'll have to go to Barber. He said, not me. And I mean, really, I mean, that eye really started coming through. Yes, he said, not me. He said, this is my most prized possession. Well, I said, son, you don't have many possessions. Well, he said, I'm not going to cut it, I tell you that. Well, I said, that means you won't sleep in the bunkhouse tonight. Now, the preacher ought to have got that done before you came down here. But He turned his back on help because he wanted to look like a woman instead of a man. He wouldn't identify himself as a man. And I had to keep him with the men folks. And I didn't have any men that wanted him around them looking like that. I said, all right, son. And, you know, I was foolish enough to let him have $15 so he could get him a room. I mean, I was kind to him. Now, he was what I'd call a typical, modern, rebellious hippie. But I still gave him $15 out of my pocket to go get him a room. And so he wouldn't be stranded. You say, what's the end of that story, a telephone call? I left town and went to Jacksonville, Florida, Orlando, or some distant place. The telephone rang. You knew who it was? He said, Brother Olaf, this is so-and-so. I said, I recognize that name. I said, you still have your hair? He said, I sure do. I said, where are you? He said, I'm in jail. I said, in jail? Of course, I knew he was going to get in jail. I said, in jail? He said, yes, sir. I said, well, son, what's the matter? He said, well, now you listen to this, and then you wonder why Brother Olaf stands the way he does. I'll just tell you out loud. He picked up, along with some men, he picked up a little girl in Corpus Christi, Texas, and carried that little girl across many state lines, and no doubt ravaged her little body all the way, and they picked him up and put him in the jail. Now, he said, I wonder if you'd help me. No, sir. I mean, you crossed your deadline with me. I tried to help you. I gave you some money. I offered you a place. I asked you, but you wouldn't do it. I said, now what you want me to do is to get you out of jail so you can continue and to flop your hair across your shoulders. And I said, son, Brother Olaf told you that the day had come when you'd cry for help. Now you're crying, aren't you? He said, yes, sir. I couldn't help you. Now then, does that explain to you why I got some conviction about this? Now you have your Bible turned with us because we're going to come right to the text. Now you know how they came through. They had a pot of oil and they borrowed vessels and they struck an oil well in the kitchen. And God paid all their bills and their debts and they had enough to live on. Verse 8, it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman. And she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, behold, now I perceive that this is an holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. Now, what would you consider a great woman? How many really great women are we going to have coming out of our home? We've got some in the making, I believe now. I really do. And we've got some. One called me today and said, Brother Olaf, she said, are you going to come and perform the ceremony? Well, I said, my plan's already made and laid. I said, just tell me what time of the day. Oh, she said, it'll be 5 o'clock in the afternoon. On August the 6th in Detroit, Michigan. Oh, I said, and you know, directly, she was so tender and so sweet, and nobody knows who I'm talking about, of course. Talk about a lady. Why, she was right next door to suicide when she came here. Nobody on earth wanted her. And she came here, and you know what the Lord did for her, and made her a great woman. She's a great woman today. And she's marrying a preacher. And she said, you know, he just preaches everywhere he gets a chance. And said, oh, said, you know, I'm over here in Columbus, Georgia, and they've already got my wedding dress made. And the bride's maid's dresses are made. And I just thought, that poor thing came in here and really... You just wondered, what in the world can happen to a girl like that? And look what's happening to her. I mean, just look, and you talk about, and listen, his people are driving down, and they're going to talk all the wedding arrangements over, you know. And she's so happy, I tell you, that's the happiest girl. And I said, well, now, you know, the quartet's coming, and they're going to say, oh, she said, Brother Olaf, that's an answer to prayer. And so what a time we're going to have. And then we're going to be there in Detroit, you know, with Brother Jack Story and all the friends. That'll be on the 6th and then the 7th and the 8th. We'll be there that night, see, Friday night in the church, because we'll have the wedding at 5 and be over there at 7:30. And then on the 6th and 7th and 8th, and then we'll go from there right into Akron, Ohio, to start in the stadium with Brother Benningfield and all the radio friends around Canton and Akron and Massillon. And what a wonderful time. But then you'd say, well, now, Brother Olof, I think that's just an accident. I mean, she's just lucky. That's all. Lucky enough. That's the Lord. Nobody could arrange all that but the Lord. You girls want something real sweet. Why don't you get in with Jesus? Why don't you let him choose all your changes for you? Well, I tell you what. Directly, my telephone rang. And you knew who it was? It is old Ricky Banning. He said, Brother Olof, he said, are you going to be able to come? I said, come? Well, I've already made up my mind. It's going to be on June the 25th, and I'm just waiting to tell me the time. Well, he said, it's going to be 3 o'clock Friday afternoon. I said, well, the girls are coming and saying, oh, he said, praise the Lord. He said, that's an answer to prayer. You see that? Huh? You say, who's that fellow? He was a thief. Biggest thief that I ever knew in my life. He even stole from us after he got down here till he got right with the Lord. Now then, the rascal got saved and been off to Tennessee Temple, and he found a little girl like y'all in a home, see, in a little home where they take in people in trouble. And that little girl has been saved, and now then she's living for the Lord, great Christian. And I tell you, you talk about a happy time on June, you know, up there, we're going to have a great and wonderful time. I tell you, folks, the Lord's going to answer your prayers if you'll just be faithful. I mean, if you'll just yield your life to the Lord and be obedient to Him, see? And you try to run your own life and you run it in the ground every time. And if you let Him, He takes it right up and blesses you. Now, here's a great woman. A great woman. She was great for two or three reasons. First of all, she discerned a man of God. She said, listen, this is a holy man of God coming by our house. And then she was a great woman of hospitality. She was friendly, but she wasn't flirtatious. Difference, isn't it? She was fine, and she was a wife, and let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick, and it shall be when he cometh to us that he shall turn in thither. You know what that woman said? She said, let's build a little motel just for God's man. Now, you know that preacher's so tired when he comes by here. I imagine her heart just went out to that preacher. You know, preachers didn't fly twin Aztecs or, you know, or commercial planes or driving a big air-conditioned car back there then. They just had to walk. And he could just come in here and feel like, well, at least I've got a room somewhere on this old earth. He has no home, just travels. Just a preacher traveling the road, warning the people and preaching. And I'd like to make something good for this man of God. And so he said, well, you know, all right, we'll do it. So they built the room and they got it all finished and furnished, and it fell on a day that he came thither. And can you imagine the thrill that she had when she said, yonder comes the preacher. Now, you know who was with him? His servant was named Gehazi. Gehazi and Elisha. Now, Elisha's God's water boy. You remember that? And here comes God's water boy right down the road. And she looks out and she, oh, you talk about spotless and spick and span, and the windows raised and the beds covered and the fresh water and everything. And the preacher looked up. I can see sweat running down his old face, you know, and his old feet so tired. But there's one thing about it, Gehazi. If we can just make it about 5 more miles, I tell you, we'll find a place at least where she'll fix us something to eat. And I tell you, I'm so hungry. And Gehazi said, me too. I'm so starved, I tell you. And I don't know why. But he said, let's make it. We've got to get there, because you know how kind that woman is and how sweet and precious she is and how she loves the man of God and how she loves the Word of God. And it'll just be like an oasis in the desert. And said, let's just keep it going till we get there. And maybe nearly sundown, I don't know, she looked out and saw him coming. And she said, oh, yonder comes the preacher. And her husband said, isn't he going to be surprised when he sees what we've got? And the old prophet looked up and said to Gehazi, well, it looked like I had a little building program. I see a new room on their house. Gehazi said, yes, maybe they somebody come to live with them. Who knows? So they went up and they knocked on the door. And the woman, of course, she's standing there looking out. Y'all come right on in. Got a surprise for you. said, well, what is it? Said, well, just come on in. And she just, and they could smell the new walls and the new lumber, you know, and she walked in there and she said, now, this is the prophet's room. This is the prophet's room right here. And Elisha said, oh, can you imagine? Such kindness. We don't deserve it. But she said, just close the door, and while I'm fixing a nice evening meal, I want you all to rest. Wash your feet and your hands. There's the wash basin there, you know, and there's the towels. And you all kind of get relaxed, and I'll call you when it's ready. And Elisha, man of God, I guess washed his old sweaty feet and his hands and face and laid down with a little breeze blowing into the window. And old Gehazi probably maybe sat down over there on the floor, and they got to talking. Elisha said, Gehazi, isn't this lady wonderful? I mean, isn't it something to have our own room? Little motel room. Every time we come this way, we'll have a place to rest. And said, I think it's wonderful. Said, you know what? I'd like to do something for her. I'd just like to do something for her. I mean, we've got to get even with her. Now, that's all there is to it. I mean, she cannot be this kind to us without us doing something for her. And he said, I'll tell you what you do. You go down there in the kitchen and ask her if she would like for me to speak to the king. Said, we're going up to palace, you know. And we probably could get her, she didn't have any children, she probably could get a position, we could get her position in the king's palace. And she and her husband could go up there and be in tremendous honor, you know. And she's so faithful and such a tremendous housekeeper. Who knows but what we could get her a job. And maybe her husband could be a maintenance man around the palace. And why, they just, wouldn't that be something? I think he's just going to test her out a little bit. Gehazi went down there and he said, say, we're just so happen, my prophet, Brother Elisha, is so grateful. He said, there's something surely we could do for you. And said, would you like for him to put in a good word or drop your application in at the palace for a nice job for you and your husband? And she looked at him and said, I dwell among my own people. I mean, this little house is my palace. I mean, this kitchen is my palace. I mean, my husband and I are well situated. I mean, I don't care anything about going to Hollywood, or the palace. I don't care anything about a career. I heard a while ago on the radio coming out on a newscast, and one woman spoke up and said, I want to know why is it that the women do not equally get as many high-ranking jobs in the civil government as the men. And the man, I thought he was fixing to really say something. He said, well, now listen, I've just appointed some of the women to the top positions, and this is a breakthrough, and we plan to do some more of it. Well, it reminded me of a Casper milk toast. What are women doing in the government as government officials? Why don't they go back home where they belong? I know some of you get mad at me, but that's what's wrong with this country right now. That's the reason we've got so many girls. Look at the girls in front of me. What was the mother doing? I know that husband deserted and the wife maybe had to go to work, but I tell you one thing, the children pay the price. The children pay the price. The girls often sin. The mother's gone, she comes home from school, and time after time, we've taken little girls into the home that we're expecting, and they went home and nobody was there, and they had a big party with a bunch of wild boys and girls, and they stayed out of school and went to somebody's home. And you know what I'm talking about. If mother had been there, it wouldn't have happened like that. Mothers and dads, the Bible says something about being keepers at home. And I believe I know what that means. And so the servant went back up there and he said, she doesn't want any job in the king's palace. Well, he said, that's it. I'll tell you what she does want. She'd like to have an addition to the family. I know, listen, will you tell her that she better start getting her baby clothes together? And I tell you, she was so thrilled. I tell you, I imagine she might have burned the biscuits. She said, oh. Now, in a way, she meant, don't you fool me now. I mean, don't tell me something not coming to pass. No, he said, it's coming to pass. At a certain time, I mean, you're going to be a mother. And sure enough, a little boy was born. But it led to tragedy and the testing of her faith. And one day, after that little boy had grown up, She sent him to the field with maybe some water or provisions or a mid-morning lunch or a mid-afternoon lunch. And evidently the little fellow had a sunstroke because he came home. I mean, he began to cry to his dad. He said, "My head, my head." And he said to one of the servants, "We'll take him to his mother." And that's a good place to take a little old child when he ought to get sick. Dad was always fine, but never could had that magic touch like my mama. Oh, I tell you, she could slip her hand over my forehead, and I mean, things begin to get a little better at least. I mean, I could just hear her feet coming down the hall after I groaned a while, and I didn't want to wake her up, but finally she heard me. And here she came. I hear her coming now. Right down that hall. And I tell you, I had many a sick night. And she came and said, "Sonny boy, are you sick?" Now then, she got it, and the Bible says, this book, this chapter says, that he sat on her knees until noon and then died. Oh, listen, you know where she took him? You think she called the undertaker? You think she called the neighbors? No. You know what she did with him? She carried him right up to the prophet's chamber. She laid him on the prophet's beds right there. And he was dead. Laying on the prophet's bed. There he is. She might have put a little sheet over his face. I mean, she got that bonnet, tied it around her chin, said to one of the servants, "I want you to get me the best carriage we got, and I want you to drive and go forward and slack not thy driving except I bid thee, and take me to the man of God." Oh, I can see that little woman bouncing up and down in that thing. Oh, man, he said, "I'm going to drive." "No, drive hard and fast. See, you got to get to the preacher." Trouble on the line, wasn't it? Trouble. And so sure enough, she got out there, and the prophet looked and said, "Say, I see the Shunammite woman coming." And said, "Go out there and whatever she needs, go with her." And well, Gehazi went out there. I hope I have time to tell you why she didn't accept him. I mean, she just drove on by him and said, "No, I've come for the prophet. I don't want the prophet's servant. I want the prophet. I want the man that prayed down my little boy because he's got some praying up to do." And you know what the preacher said? "Is it well with thee? Is it well with your husband? And is it well with the child?" And strange as it may seem, that little old lady with her bonnet on looked up and said, "It is well." That's faith, isn't it? It's all right. In other words, that's faith. She said, "It will be when you get over there." Now, if you can pray him down, you can pray him up. And so she said, "Well," he said, "I'll send him." "No," I said, "you go on. I want you to go. I want you to go." And so Gehazi went on ahead, and he told him. He said, "Now go up there and just kind of, lay this rod on his face." And he did. And he came out, and Gehazi said, "Well, he's still dead. I mean, the rod didn't work." But when the prophet got there, you know why it didn't work? I found out Gehazi had some real covetousness in him, because you remember in the fifth chapter, when Elisha refused to take the gifts from Naaman, and we'll come to that in a little bit in our next message for the 15-minute broadcast, but did you know that when he refused to take it, Gehazi went over there and he coveted some new suits and maybe some silver and some gold, and leprosy got a hold of him. You remember that? He was selfish. You know, that's why a lot of our prayers are not answered. We're so selfish. That's what's wrong with a lot of these children, a lot of these people in the families. Little old kids who want it all for themselves, and you wonder why God won't answer your prayer. Well, want it for somebody else. And the Bible said the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends, when he prayed for somebody else besides Job. And God will hear your prayers. What if y'all got interested? These little girls that come in here that are just needing help so bad, and they just got in, others fixing to come, and others will be coming back. I just talked to some girls on the phone, little old Joan, you remember down in Florida? She talked to me just a minute ago, and she said, "I'm waiting." And her mother said, "And I'm making her some nice dresses, and we're ready." Another little girl going to call me tonight, and she's over there in the same city of Jacksonville. She said, you know, and then another one, and on and on. And so we ought to get interested in somebody else. Now then, what happened? The little boy was raised from the dead. Gave him back to his mother, and the little boy was well and lived a normal life. But he had a great, faithful mother. The Bible said she was a great woman. Now then, let me ask you this. What are the marks of a great woman? Number one, you must discern the man of God. Don't let somebody fool you. You must discern a man of God. Number two, you ought to be hospitable and kind and share what you have with a servant of the Lord. If he's serving the Lord and is not trying to accumulate things for himself, and you ought to help other people. And she did. And the next thing, she was a lover of home. She loved her home, and she loved children, and God gave her a child. And then she had faith to believe that God could even resurrect him from the dead, and he did. Brother, she was a great woman. We need great women today. Aren't we running short of great women? Used to have great prayer closet mothers and grandmothers, and that's the reason they call them grandmothers, you know. My, they said that's a grandmother, see? What's grand about a cigarette-smoking, drinking, cussing, home-breaking grandmother? We need godly grandmothers today. Oh, I remember when my grandmother used to come. Oh, listen, it was a real wonderful time when my granddaddy used to come. Boy, they were grand. I mean, you respected them, and you kind of said, well, granddaddy's coming in. Grandmother's coming in. We need to be great. But you know, until you become a good mother, you'll never become a grandmother. You've got to become a godly mother and a godly father before you can become a grandmother and a grandfather. May we pray. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that today in this broadcast,